blessed by you. We have blessed the world that is in so much need. We are called to be your hands and feet, Jesus. And we want to bring change. We want to bring life into your creation. Amen. Amen. We're now going to have our reading. And say it's from 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. That's 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 to 7.
Setting my thunder. One day, a widow of one of the Lord's prophets said to Elisha, "You know that before my husband died, he was a follower of yours, and he worshipped the Lord. But he owed a man some money, and now that man is on his way to take my two sons as his slaves. Perhaps there is something I can do to help," Elisha said. "What do you have in your house?"
"Sir, I have nothing but a small bottle of olive oil."
Elisha told her, "Ask your neighbours for their empty jars. And after you've borrowed as many as you can, go home and shut the doors behind you and your sons. Then begin filling the jars with oil and set each one aside as you fill it." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So this morning, if you've got your Bibles, or your phones, or your apps, or whichever one you're going to go for that, because we're going to be going through verse by verse, so you're going to want your Bibles. If you haven't got one, there's a load of them at the back there. If you want to grab a Bible, it might be worth getting one, because we're going to go through it, say, verse by verse this morning. So there's a story in the Old Testament where Elijah comes to this lady who's a widow, and she's got a problem. Her husband's died, there's a debt, and in those days, to pay off a debt, you'd sell your children into slavery. And she doesn't want that for her children. She doesn't want that for her future. And so she's in a quandary as to what to do. So in verse 1, she's confused about what the future looks like. Because her past is trying to affect her present. And for so many of us, we spend our lives in the present, constantly bound by our past. And it means we don't see a future of hope because we're constantly, our present is bound by our past. For this lady, she can't move forward because her past is affecting her present. And what she's seeing for the future is something where a future she doesn't want to see. Her sons are going to be in slavery. She's not going to have anything. Her family's going to be broken up. The relationships that mean the most to her aren't going to be there. And so what's happened to her, this bereavement that's happened to her, and the result of that, of the debt that she's been left with, means that her past is encroaching upon her present and means it's robbing her of her future. And so many of us feel the same way, don't we? That there's just things that we long for in our lives. There's a future we are desperate for, and we don't quite understand how it could possibly look because our past is playing on our present. That means we can't move forward. And so, in order to have a future hope and an understanding of our future, we have to deal with our past. We have to look at what it is behind us that is meaning we can't move forward. What is it that's holding us back, that's binding us back to something, since our present is affected entirely by our past? You see, all change creates a crisis. Whenever circumstances in our life change, it creates a crisis. For her, her husband's died, and the crisis now is, I now can't afford to pay off his debt, and now my children are going to be sold into slavery. All change leads to a crisis. That's just normal. And when we face crisis, we think it's some sort of abnormal thing in our lives because the world around us tells us that everything should always be fine. Everything should always be great. Life should always be so simple and easy. And when it's not like that, there's something really, really wrong. And the Bible tells us the story, the fact that life is a journey of up and downs. It's not a little bit of kind of, it's all plain sailing. It's up and down. You become a Christian and it's even more up and down. But what we learn from this woman, though, is in verse 1, is that there's an issue with her past that needs to be dealt with because it's affecting her future. So what does she do? She seeks a word from God. She goes to the man of God to receive a word from God. And for us, when we are facing a crisis point in our life, or when there's something in our past that is stopping us from moving forward, we need to seek God's word and his truth into that situation. Because it's God's truth and God's word that has the power to break the past and to bring a hope and a vision for something different in our lives. So what does she do? When she's facing a crisis, when she's facing a challenge, when she's facing something which she feels, my future is now uncertain, she seeks a word from God, from the man of God. So wherever you are this morning, things might be fantastically great, things might not be so great, or they might be just a bit of a, I'm just not quite sure about what's going to happen next. I'm just feeling uncertain. What we learn from the widow is, seek a word from God. So she seeks a word from God from the man of God. And in verse 2, what's the word that comes to her? In verse 2, Elijah says to her, I've just lost it now. There we are. Elijah says to her, Elijah replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? You see, when the future's uncertain, what we immediately think is, there's nothing I can do to change this. It's completely out of my control. I've got nothing. And what God says, often God's word is saying, well, what do you have? What's in your house? That's what Elijah says to her. What do you have? Rather than looking at what you haven't got and all the issues and problems that might give, what do you have? What have you got in your house? She says, I've got nothing. How many times have we replied to God with that? I've got nothing, God. God says, really? And she's like, well, I've got a little oil. You see, God will always use the little in our life to bring the much. He didn't just sort of magic stuff up from nowhere. He uses what we already have. He uses what we're prepared to sacrifice and give to him in order for there to be something of change in our life. Change starts from where we are and from what we already have. And so often the reason we don't see what God wants to do in our lives is because we're convinced that we need something different from what we currently have. If only this was different, then I could do X, Y, and Z. If only this changed, well, then I'd do this. And we spend our lives waiting for circumstances to change in order then to be obedient to what God wants us to do. Because when this happens, then I'll do. So we go, I haven't got anything right now, God. Don't you know what's wrong? I've got nothing to give. And I have all these problems that are facing me. I have all these crises that are around me. I have nothing to give. And God's saying, what do you have in your house? In your life, what do you have? What's the little that you do have? And throughout the Bible, you often see that it will be, well, what do you have? And then God does something with it. Moses says, I can't do this. I can't lead the people of Israel. And God says, well, what do you have in your hand? And he goes, I've got a staff. God goes, okay, let's use that then. Let's start there. The feeding of the 5,000. Jesus says to the disciples, feed the people. They go, we haven't got anything. Apart from this little boy who's got some fish and some bread. See, the miracle often begins with the little. And the Christian life is about a life of trusting God. And it's easy to trust God when there's much, but it's really hard to trust God when there's little. But trust only works when there's little. Because you have something to trust for. You have something to believe for. So this morning, maybe you're there going, I have nothing to give. I'm facing a problem or a crisis or an uncertainty, and it's going, I don't know what to do next. And God's word to you is, what have you got already? What's the little you do have? Let's start from there. What do you know? What hope do you have? What is there in your life? Because the word nothing isn't true. There's always something that we do have. And God starts from that point and works from there. That's a great hope. You often heard that, probably that phrase where people say, it's sort of a mythical story that is told all over the place where someone stops someone and asks for directions. They say, how do I get to so-and-so? And the person says, oh, if you're going there, I wouldn't start from here. Often we think that I can't get there from here. And God says, yes, you can. You start from where you are. God meets you where you're at, and he meets you in what you do have. So the lie that I don't know enough of the Bible, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough faith, I don't have enough of this, I don't have enough of that. If only this changed, or if only that changed, God says, well, stop. What do you have in your hand? What do you have in your house? So it's personal to her. What do you have in your house? What do you have in your life? What do you have in the place that you live, the place that you dwell? What do you have? God starts with a seed of something in your life that is already there. So it's not what you haven't got, it's the little that you do have that God wants to take and use. And here's the hope of this bit, is God takes the insignificant and turns it into the significant. He takes the insignificant, I have just a little oil, and he turns it into something significant in her life. So this morning, if you're here thinking, I'm insignificant, brilliant, because you become significant in the kingdom of heaven. Because the last shall be first and the first shall be last. What a brilliant hope that is. Verse 3, the man of God then says to her, go and collect as many jars as you possibly have. Now we know what you've got. Now's the faith bit. Go and collect as many jars as possible from all of your neighbours, from all the people around you. Go and collect empty jars from them. And he says, don't just ask for a few, ask for many. Don't just ask for a few, ask for much. And so when we're in a place where we only have little, the danger is we don't ask for much. Because we think, well, I only have this, and so God couldn't possibly do anything more than this. And God's saying, dream big, have a bigger vision, have a bigger idea of what he's going to do. Have some faith. When you've worked out what the seed that you've got is, believe for something massive. Believe something bigger. Believe something that God's going to do. Don't just ask for a few jars, ask for many jars, as many as you can possibly get. Dream big. Ask big prayers. So many of us don't ask big prayers for God. And if we want to hear those words that we've had shared in the life of the church, that God's been saying to the leadership team and to us as a church, about floor it, get drenched in this, explode the box, don't limit God, you know. There's the potential of dynamite in us. It's only going to happen when we have a bigger vision of what we want God to do. So start praying big prayers. Start having big faith, because that is trust, and it's trust that God loves. It says in the Bible that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Why? Because faith is trust in our Heavenly Father, and trust is about relationship. It shows that we are in relationship with our Father, and that we've understood what that relationship means. So the more trust we put in God, the more it expresses our understanding of that relationship. If you're in a relationship with someone, it's because you trust them that you go and do things. You trust them to be there for you. You trust them to do various things for you. You trust them. And it's the trust that grows between you that makes you want to love each other, that makes you rely on each other, because you trust each other. And one of the things I'm saying at the moment, I've said it to a lot of different groups in church recently, is if whenever you read the word faith in the Bible, if you change the word trust, it might help you read it differently. Because faith is about trusting God. So it's saying, go and collect many jars. Trust the word of God, even if it seems ludicrous. Have a big vision. But also, what we see in this is that for the vision that God's going to bring into her life right now, it requires the help of other people. Go and collect the jars from all of your neighbors and all the people around you. See, what God wants to birth in your life, what God wants to do in your life, isn't just about you, it's about something bigger than just you. And he'll involve other people around you to help bring about what God's going to do in your life. That's the community of God. That's why we meet together as a church. That's why we get together and we support each other and encourage each other. It's about all of us together helping each other step into the promise that God's got for us in our life. And that's why we meet together. That's why we get together as church. That's why we do life as Christians together. Because you can't get to where you need to go without the help of other people. What God wants to birth in you will come through the support of the people around you. So ask for much. Don't ask just for little. And in verses 4 and 5, what we see is she goes and does that. She collects these jars from all of her neighbours and friends. And she goes into her home with her two sons, just as the man of God says to do. And she starts pouring little oil out. As she pours it out, the jars keep filling and keep filling and keep filling and keep filling. What she does is step-by-step obedience to the word of God. She just does one thing at a time. So you often think that God's going to go, boom, and it's all suddenly going to appear. And it's not. It's step-by-step obedience, step-by-step faith. The Christian life is step-by-step. First, seek the word from God. Then respond to the word of God. And it might seem ludicrous. She takes loads and loads of jars. And then the man of God says, go into your home, shut the door, and then pour the oil out. She does it step by step by step. So when the Christian life feels overwhelming and daunting, or maybe the vision that God's giving you seems so massive and so overwhelming, it's step by step by step obedience. So God does it. Just follow the last command that God gave you. What's the last thing God said to you? And keep acting on that. And when God says something different, that's when you need to go to the next step of obedience. If he hasn't said change, don't change yet. If he said change, then change. Step by step obedience. But what we also see here is that what God's going to do in her life, the miracle he's going to bring about, it happens first and foremost in the secret place. Shut the door and then do it in your home, you and your sons. And so this place of the secret place, which is quiet and intimate with those that she cares about and those that she loves. Now, if she had done this in the street, everyone would have been, wow, isn't God amazing? This is phenomenal. This is great. But what God wants to birth in your life, it begins in the secret place. In the quiet place. In the place where you shut the door and you spend time with God, pouring out, being faithful in obedience to him, letting him pour into your life more and more and more. The secret place. Jesus says, when you pray, don't go do it in the street. Shut the door, go into a room by yourself and spend time with your Heavenly Father. Jesus' model of ministry, I have time with my Father on my own in a secret place and then I go and minister to the world. And if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. But more than that, it's not just good enough for Jesus. It's saying, if Jesus does that, that's how we have to follow him. It's not an option or a choice. That's how we do life as a Christian. We have time with God, which is hidden away from everyone else. So for you, church is basically your only place to be fed. That's not enough. God wants to meet you intimately in your closed door room. He wants to meet you in your home. He wants to meet you where you're at day by day. He wants you to spend time with him in the secret place. That's where he wants to pour into your life. That's where he wants to bring more into your life. That's where you'll hear God in your life. And so as a vision as a church, we've talked about the idea of being deeply rooted, branching out. You can't branch out unless you've got good roots. And roots are hidden away. So what you're rooting into in the secret place is what will happen in the fruit of the tree. I had that picture from Laura about the idea of the tree uprooting and moving to good waters. It's in that place of, I'm going to pour out oil. I'm going to keep hearing from God more and more and more. What we see is when she does that, God's provision meets her. That God meets her in that place. That place of obedience and intimacy, that's where God meets her. And suddenly things start to change and transform in her life. So God brings the miracle about first. What happens in the secret place affects what happens in the public place. God's miracle comes to her. See, it says in 2 Corinthians about how we are like jars of clay. And God wants it in the intimate place is where God pours into us afresh the oil of his spirit. Where he'll empower us, he'll provide for us, he'll spiritually encourage us. But what often we do is we let the jars of our life be filled up with other stuff So there's not space for God's Spirit to be poured in. So in our secret place, we fill it with junk. We fill it with other stuff that isn't good for us. We fill it with stuff that isn't very helpful. We push out time with God because there's other stuff we want to fill our lives with. And here it's saying, an empty vessel can be full. But a full vessel can't be refilled. It's already full. So if you want more of the Spirit of God in your life, you've got to empty out some of the junk first in order to let more of the Spirit of God fill you. Because it says, as soon as the jars ran out, the oil stopped pouring. See, God will meet us in our expectation. If your expectation is God will only do this, God will do that for you. If your expectation is massive, God will do that for you. Do you know what? I've got some pretty massive dreams. I have got no idea how I'm going to get there. Or where they're going to, how they're ever going to come to be. And you know what? I'm fine with that. Because it's God's problem. But I want to have the expectation that God's going to do those massive things. Because he'll meet us in our expectation. So if you come to church week by week expecting nothing really to happen, nothing will happen for you. If you come to church every week with the expectation that you're going to meet the power of God, you'll meet the power of God. God will meet you in your expectation, whatever that might be. Which is why you need to dream big. It's that whole Ephesians thing that, you know, God will do abundantly above anything you ask or imagine. He wants to do more than that. So whatever you can imagine, he wants to do more than that. So if you imagine small things, that's what you have. Maybe a little bit more. If you imagine big things, he'll do something even bigger. So don't limit your vision by the lack of what you currently don't have. Don't limit your vision by saying, well, I only have this. Maybe you're here this morning, you're saying, I don't know enough of the Bible. I wish I knew more of my Bible. And God's saying, you're going, well, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't serve. I couldn't do anything like that. Maybe God's saying, be a preacher. Share God's word. Dare to have a vision that seems to be so outlandish compared to where you are, to little that you have. Because God will meet you in your expectation. And just like these pots, if it's empty, God will keep filling it. So we need to keep emptying our lives with the junk so that God can keep filling into our lives the joy of his Spirit. The oil of his Spirit into our lives afresh, again and again and again. To have faith that he wants to pour into your life, but it only happens in the secret place. So God wants to pour out into your life and multiply what he wants to do in you. It's in the secret place. And then we get to verse 7. And what we see is the man of God says to her, once all these pots are full, they have all this oil, he says, go and sell the oil to pay off your debts, and you can live on what's left over. God always provides for our need and something more. What an awesome testimony of faith. But you know what I think happens here as well, though? It's not in the Bible, but here's what I think happens. It's a pay off your debts, live on the rest, but also, when you give the jars back to the people who you borrowed them from, there's some for them too. There's some for them too. That as we are blessed, we are called to be a blessing. That because she meets God in the secret place, and God does this amazing miracle in her life, the people that have supported that vision of giving her the pots suddenly receive something more. So be aware that the reason why we encourage other people isn't just that's a nice thing to do, but also it's because we all get blessed by that. Not the reason to do it, but saying, but as we serve each other, there's a blessing that flows to us. Which is why it's so important to serve. Because when you serve, there's blessing that flows towards you. And you miss out otherwise. You miss out on what God wants to do in your life. And so what happens in the secret place affects the public place. And it affects the blessing on the world around us. So if you want to have a greater impact for Jesus, in the intimate place, in the quiet place, in the secret place, empty your life of the junk. Let God pour into your life. Let God do a miracle in your life in that place of intimacy. And it will not only bless you, provide for your needs and some, but there will also be enough left over for the rest of the world around us. Which is why it's so important that our personal, private life is right with God. It's no good just turning up to church every week and hoping for some change to happen. It doesn't happen in the public place. Change happens. Miracles happen. God meets us in the crisis in the secret place. That's where he does the change. And out of that then comes the strength, comes the power, comes the provision for God doing something in the public place. And that's why our vision as a church is to be deeply rooted, branching out. Is that you can't do mission without intimacy with Jesus. Unless you've got good roots into the foundations of what God is all about and who he is and his love, you can't do something for him. Because fruit is a direct link to what is rooted into. So what are you rooted into? What junk is in the way this morning? What crisis are you facing? What steps of obedience do you need to take next? How is your intimate private life with God? How's that going? And if it's not going very well, that's okay. It's not like a shock horror. We all struggle doing devotional life. Or am I the only one here? I struggle to read my Bible. I struggle to worship. I struggle to pray. I struggle to do this stuff. But I do it because, and I try to do it because, I know that there's a greater impact that's had. For some weeks, I am great at it. I'm all over my Bible. I'm all over it. I've got worship music going in the background. I'm worshiping Jesus all the time. I'm praying all the time. There's other weeks where I'm like that. Oh, the Bible. Oh, it's so tedious. We all feel like it. It's not just you. We all have those times, those moments. And that's okay. But don't give up on it because it's hard. Because it's in the intimate secret place that God meets you with your little. And even if 1 week, all you've managed to do is read one verse, you've managed to say one prayer of, oh, Jesus, help. He meets us where we are. And that's the seed of faith that he then takes forward into the rest of our lives. So develop the secret place so that the public place can be a place where there's provision and blessing. This woman's story is brilliant. Crisis meets a word from God, a response in steps of obedience, where she asks for a vision of much, doesn't limit what God can do. She then, in the intimate place, pours out the oil of God's love and joy, where there's then provision for the public place to pay off her debts, deal with her past, and allow there to be a hope of a future. So if you feel hopeless about the future, spend time in the intimate place being filled up with God's Spirit. Because then you'll be able to deal with the past and move into the future. I'll have thrown out a lot of things there this morning, but hopefully there's something here this morning that means something to you today. Whether that's you're in crisis and need a word from God, whether that's actually there's some steps of obedience you need to take, whether actually you just need to develop your personal intimate life with God, whether actually there's something you need to bless other people with. Maybe God's giving you something. God's saying, now it's time to go and bless people. What's this morning about? It's saying, God, here's my little, and together make it be much. Because we believe for a bigger vision for this kitchen, for our church. What we're going to do. That's what we're doing this morning. It's an action of faith. Of saying, God, I trust you that with my little, you will do much. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the story of this woman. This woman of such faith, who dares to believe your word, who dares to seek your word out, and to put it into action in faithful obedience, and in intimacy, what is poured out in the secret place is the source of the power and provision for the public place. Thank you that you meet us where we are, and you take the little that we do have to be the source of the bigger vision and dream that you'll bring into our lives. I pray for us as a church, we would dare to collect many jars, to collect much, not just a few, to have an expectation of what you're going to do, which is so much greater than what we've already experienced. And Lord God, I pray that we would be a blessing to our world around us as we allow you to pour into our lives day by day by day. Help us in the secret place to be obedient to you, so that in the public place we can share what you have given us. Bless us this morning, I pray. in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just going to end in celebration this morning and sing one final song. And this talks about things that God has done in the past and the things we long for Him to do today. And how these are the days when God will move amongst us. Just as He's done in the past, He'll continue to do.